What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Fed can just print more money out of thin air, but the government's always going to be in debt due to Fed.
Everybody has questions that aren't being answered.
Hey there, audio listener. I'm going to make this really quick. I'm trying to sound like Steven Crowder, how he does that. Hey, audio listener. Part two, okay? If you're listening to this before you listen to the previous episode, you're fucking up. You're doing it wrong, okay? This is part two of a two-part series. I want you to go back, make sure that you heard the first one. If you didn't check out the first video version on YouTube, which is really how you should be checking this episode out. However, if you're like me, I don't really watch many podcasts. That's why I don't have many video content episodes. However, when it's very necessary, I have been putting some of the video episodes, the visual focused episodes on YouTube. So, audio listener, if you are here at the second one and you had not heard the first, I cannot stress, this is a two-part series that builds this episode here builds off the first. So going through the book All Tomorrows by C.M. Kozeman, a.k.a. Nemo Ramjet. I don't know if I should say Nemo Ramjet, a.k.a. C.M. Kozeman, because his pen name is Nemo, which Nemo means nobody. It's kind of an interesting pen name. And once people started not thinking he was a complete psychopath for writing this and drawing these weird, weird creatures, I think he wanted people to know that it was him. You know, he wanted to pull a big dick move and flex on people for being like, hey, I wrote that. I wrote that, baby. Okay. So it's a great, really phenomenally interesting book. And just the concept is incredible. So hope you checked out both portions. I hope that you show Random Randy over at the Red Thread Podcast some love too. You know, really, really unique topics that he's covering, much different than my show, but a like-minded individual in some ways. We don't agree on everything, but I hope that you enjoyed this, guys, because I really did actually kind of open my mind up a little bit just hearing Randy's thoughts on these things. I give my thoughts on some of these creatures. I really like the Colonials, as you could tell from the first episode, this weird creature that forms up with other creatures like it, and it's essentially a human quilt. It's fully conscious, but it can't move. It's just one of the most scary concepts that I've ever heard. And like we talk about in the first episode, there's humans that you know that have these qualities. You know, there's some people that seem like the Colonials or the Q, right? I mean, the Q would be like your presidents and your world leaders, which if you don't know what the Q is in regards to this book, go listen to the first episode. But yeah, incredible stuff and really, really fun, dude. So thanks again, Randy. If you're hearing this intro, you're a great guy. And I think that your podcast needs to be way bigger than it is. And it will get there, dude. Just keep grinding it out. And thanks for your support, listeners. And I'm not going to plug my stuff. Hopefully you're hearing this. And I mean, you probably know where to find me at Patreon and my website. And, you know, Manscaped supports the show and they're freaking awesome. So I wanted to keep this one super short because, yeah, two episodes in one day. You can't beat that. And I hope that you check out the visuals on YouTube, of course. So I will see you very soon, guys. Doomsday episode coming, and I'm very, very excited about that one. So take care and enjoy this damn part two. Well, folks, part two is upon you right now with Random Randy, dude. I'm very excited to be doing this. You know, for my little YouTube channel, man, the video that we did of part one, seems to be pretty good, man. Of course, this is a visual heavy topic, talking about different breeds of aliens and so on. So yeah,
100%. And the visuals are stunning. So, you know, again, I compel anybody to go and take a look at this book and, you know, just kind of like give it some thought. You know what I mean? Think about who you know that maybe kind of fits into one of these categories or days that you've had that kind of fit into one of these. You know, we've all got like apparently a lot of us are trending towards like an insectophage lifestyle because that's what they're really trying to push on us right now. It kind of makes you wonder, you know, what kind of humans do they think we are? And they're like, here, eat bugs. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
well, that's kind of interesting. I think that's right about where we left off too. So
yeah, dude, well, that's the thing, man. So again, you know, you brought this idea to my attention, this book of, you know, it's called All Tomorrows. It was about to be called All Yesterdays. And this is just kind of the archetypes. It's myriad species. Sort of an alternative history of, you know, how humans, you know, created these creatures, dude. So, you know, you're the expert here as far as I'm concerned. And I, before we really roll into it,
we'll give a quick breakdown kind of the gist of this for those that maybe haven't tuned into the first one. Yeah. You have these alternate histories, and then you have like fables and tales. This could fit into kind of either category, depending on the way you look at things. I myself tend to look at pretty much every tale as a tiny piece of the larger puzzle. So this book was really helpful for me to kind of, I don't know, develop a different type of understanding as to why some people are the way they are. And like, if you could tie it to you know, it going back to each of us, like each of these personality traits or types of people in society being an actual different species, you know, maybe that'll make it a little easier for some people to understand why each individual person is on their own page or seems like maybe sometimes they're their own species. You know what I mean? Like you've got these people out there that are like super big about bug protein and like we look at it like, oh, they're just evil and want to have all the beef for themselves. But like realistically, what if these people are wired differently and maybe come from a past or have a more direct lineage, if you will, or like genetic phenotype that fits closer to one of these insectophage type creatures? So, yeah, so it's just a different way to look at what we're dealing with in the world. You know, maybe it helps me to give people some grace. You know what I mean? When I see these kinds of traits, pop up in life and in people, it's like, oh, you know, maybe it's not their fault, maybe their grandma was a freaking bug eating, you know what I mean, blah blah blah, or a crab person, or you know what I mean, or maybe it was they're just swimmers and they're out of place because they're in the Midwest, you know what I mean? So there's all these different ways you can look at things.
Randy, I was just talking with Nico from Upstate Unconventional, and he was kind of describing to me the whole idea of what kosher really means, because I've talked to people that follow it and they really couldn't describe it to me, and Nico broke it down really well for me. And actually, you know, crickets and bugs like that, different types of locusts are kosher, and pigs are not. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then there's even some debate when it comes to like webbed footed, you know, birds like ducks. You know, there's some debate there. So myself, I'd much rather eat a pig or a duck than a cricket. I mean, that's one of the last things I would want to eat. Me and my sister, full disclosure, did eat a couple of crickets that were dead, and they were salt and vinegar flavored. They were actually really good over here at this tourist attraction here in Tucson.
And you know, I do challenge people to try things that you're not like jiving with. Just, dude, try everything, you know, especially if you're one of these people that thinks you only live once, right?
Exactly.
You might as well try everything if YOLO, you know what I mean? Not saying, you know, build an entire society structure on eating of bugs, but you know, this is, you're going to see this start coming up a little more in the next few years. It's already kind of popping up on the fringe kind of delicacy side of things, like these restaurants that have bug platters.
Yeah.
And Bugsies, blah, blah, blah.
The fast food place.
So, yeah, you know what I mean? So it's just like, you're going to see these, if you really lean into this book and look at the different types of, they're essentially called post-humans, because what happens is there's a species and it's all human and they live on Mars and they live on Earth. And then they start, warring with each other, and then like they finally get to a place where they're getting along and working together and being nice to each other, sharing information, which the interesting thing about the way they share information is it's just an energetic transfer. They're not flying to each other's planet and you know what I mean, setting foot on each other's planet. They're sending information back and forth. And this is kind of important, and I bring this up because this applies to the other, if you want to call them alternative histories involving Mars and Earthlings being on Mars or humans being, you know, part of a solar system community. You know, a lot of people think that it's is one of those situations where like we're flying back and forth, you know what I mean, to each other's planets. That maybe necessarily or wasn't necessarily the case. Yeah. What it is, you know, genetics will be sent and the information to start those genetics, whether it's like, you know what I mean, seeds and terraforming, or once that part happens, sending the genetic information, maybe within a comet full of water or whatever the situation calls for, right? These worldwide modifications were made to allow humans to, you know, thrive, and they did. And then they got to a certain point of thriving. And then these Q came along and they were like, oh, well, let's, since they're already had the armor of man or their golden age, you know, let's disrupt all that. And, you know, anybody alive right now is very familiar with, you know, the side of society or of humanity or of life that you can call it dark or you can call it disruptive. You know, or you can call it distortion. I've heard it. Distortion is a good way to look at, you know, the dark side of things, without diving too deep into the darkness anyway. But, so these Q, you know, split humanity up into all of these different subhumans. And, so it's kind of a subhuman trait, like you see here with the insectophage or insectophagi. You know, these traits pop in from time to time. And we're in one of those moments right now where it's like, oh yeah, bugs are phenomenal. And who knows, maybe in some distant past, right? Or some distant future, there will be a whole group of humans just hanging out with super long bug eating tongues, dude, that don't need forks and knives. You know what I mean? Have done away with chopsticks and that's that. And I don't know if you've ever read the book Dune, Ryan.
I have not.
Or seen the movies and
saw the movie, the newer one.
Well,
not the old
there's
one,
these creatures that essentially are called the Spacing Guild in Dune, and they're very kind of similar to the spacers in that like they evolved for life in space. So you know what I mean? They kind of devolve like different weird limbs and like
looks
you
like
know
there's
these,
low
these
gravity,
grasping.
right?
And apparently these things, you see they're modified sphincter here is they fart themselves around their ship when they're in zero G. So, you know, that's pretty cool. And it's kind of reminiscent of what we see in like squids and stuff here on Earth, as well as like the long dangly kind of almost tentacular fingers here. I like that word. That was pretty nice. Tentacular.
That was great.
Yeah.
Did you just make that up right now?
Dude.
It's interesting, the idea of the ink coming out of the squids, you know what I mean? And I think that you hit the nail on the head there. That's a great observation, dude.
Right. So, I mean, who's to say that perhaps in the past, like we weren't in a situation where everything was much more human-like? I mean, we're learning now that the brains of things like octopi and squids are like phenomenally developed,
highly,
you know,
evolved.
I mean?
Yeah.
So I mean, imagine if you put a squid in space and give them millions or billions of years to figure shit out and figure out how to, you know, locomote with this little jet thing, this jet ass down here, and you know what I mean, interact with things, but through a light touch because you're in zero G. You know, you don't want to push too hard on something and you go fly in the other direction. So you have a very delicate light finger. And boy, this kind of skeletal structure would do it. The interesting thing here, though, also is the clown hair.
Yeah.
And the reminiscent face of like Gollum. You know what, yep, I mean? When you're in the dark for that long, you know, maybe this is what happens to your face, like inadvertently.
Well, and it gives you an impression of the grays too, right? I mean, like, and you said quite a few things there. There's a really credible theory actually that squid eggs and octopus eggs actually came in to Earth initially from outer space. And if you put like a squid in a jar, it can supposedly open itself out of the jar, let itself out. So
yeah,
these things are highly evolved.
And their skin is it's kind of like its own built-in cloaking device. I mean, this is a behavior that a lot of people see when it comes to UFOs and UAVs, right? They see this kind of cloaking action happen. And from what people say, it's kind of a very organic looking cloaking action. Like you can see it, but it kind of blends with the background, and that's reminiscent of like a squid. But this I love. The Ruin Haunters is very reminiscent to me of the bowler hat type English people. You know what I mean? That that we often call inheritors in our circle. It's very similar to the Ruin Haunters. Basically, this group of humanity just was on a world that had the ruins of, you know, ancient humanity there, along with the ruined technology. Maybe some of it wasn't ruined. So these people kind of had a shoe in to dominance, you know what I mean? So they found all of these ruins and all of this technology and all of this stuff left by the previous civilization, similar to what I think is going on here right now. You know, and this issue with like what's weird about the 1800s and shit, right? And the late 1700s. So this species is just lucky in that it's access to the heritage of its ancestors. So we see a lot of technologies and stuff around the world right now. Monstrous ruins, right? Traces of star people. There's a lot of like cave art and stuff suggesting that these, you know, people came from the stars and or were even here for a period of time in the past. But now a lot of humanity anymore is simply that of a ruin haunter, right? That just feel entitled to their claim on things simply because they got there first and found the ship first.
Name is really interesting too. Like haunting ruins, you know, haunting the old world, like, you know, just kind of cursing it, changing tradition in a way, right?
Yeah, and I mean, just occupying out of place. Like, you know, a haunting is just like occupied out of time or out of dimension or out of the moment. The interesting thing about haunting is you can haunt yourself. You know what I mean? You can haunt others. Others can haunt you. So what exactly is our relationship to these ruins? Are we haunting them or are they haunting us, or maybe a little bit of both? Because, you know, anybody that's looked into like Tartaria and all this hidden archaeological history, it could be very haunting. So that in itself is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Do you think that we should read this Sentience Reborn or just kind of paraphrase?
Yeah, we can pretty much paraphrase it. All right. So it's basically just explaining that there will be periods of like enlightenment. There will be periods of darkness. You know, this is a cyclical thing. You know, like stars emerging from the fog, new civilizations were born out of the shattered remnants of mankind. And, you know, again, I think we see some of this stuff in this book is very relevant for what we see going on in the world. You know, they're constantly digging up ruins, piecing together the shattered remnants of mankind, even though they like to attribute everything to ancient aliens. I mean, through the lens of this book, everything is human. So it's something to consider. It's definitely an interesting perspective.
I really like this last bit here, dude. Sooner or later, human intelligence returned to the cosmos, but except from their shared ancestry, these new people had nothing in common with, quote, people of today or even each other. So that's absolutely something I think that a lot of people can relate to, dude.
100%. And you know, then we come to a point also where there may be, and we see evidence of this happening in the past, where maybe there was an extinction, right? Not all of the human animals made it through. In fact, it must be realized that the majority of post-Q humans died out during the eras of transition, extinction, the utter absolute death of an entire family, entire community, entire species was rampant in the galaxy. So it suggests that, you know, life, like death, is a part of the cycle of time. And you know, even goes so further as to say there was nothing cruel or dramatic in all of this. Extinction was as common and as natural as speciation. Evolution, in other words. Sometimes a species simply failed to adapt to competition or the abrupt change of conditions. In other occasions, their numbers dwindled across imperceptible gulfs of time. You know, so this is suggesting quite a different story than what we're told about 6,000 years or 12,000 years being the sum total of humanity. So this way or the other, human animals faded out. In all of this death, however, there's new life. As one species vacated a certain niche, others would soon step in and take its place. And so we see a lot of that going on. I mean, we know that when, you know, people got to, quote unquote, the new world, they were stepping into old niches, right? Like these old cities and stuff, filling the blanks with myriads of diverse and varied forms. And that's in despite of the fallen, the flow of life would proceed blazing in constant turnover. So it just suggests the constant transition and changing of the times. We see a lot of that in astrology, you know, with the shifting of different zodiac signs and that sort of thing. There's periods of growth and periods of decline. And apparently we seem to be in a period of decline currently. So this is super interesting because there's a lot of things in a lot of different sci-fi that are suggestive of like snake or serpentine creatures having like a very high level of sentience. And what's really cool about these snake people here, Ryan, is like their habitat is all of these, what look to me like sewers, right? So you think like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know what I mean? Or a lot of these things that we had considered maybe in the past, underground subways. Like, is it a possibility that there were, as we're seeing evidence of, different types of humanity right here where we are, right in this realm right now, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think this is as far of a fiction as, you know what I mean, those folks in charge would have us believe. We see tons of these very round shaped tunnels in the underworld. They're called sewers or cisterns now, but you know, back in this past time before this flood, right, it is said that there were abominations, right, as it's put, like on this earth of like different types of crossing of species and shit. And this is why like the flood had to come and cleanse the bloodlines or whatever it was supposed to do. So maybe these snake people, which were highly intelligent from what I see. And what's crazy is they developed like a hand out of their tail.
Yeah, that's weird, dude. And supposedly that would move them along. And something that you said in the first episode that we did about this book was the Beetlejuice idea. I mean, this is exactly the stripes and everything. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that there's an inspiration there, but you know,
and the sandworms and again with Dune,
and the face. Dune
had the sandworms, you know, we see like I've been really looking into like all these sinkholes and stuff around the world that are perfectly round, right?
Yeah.
And they're like ridged as if, God, I don't know, as if they were a giant worm or a giant snake. So that's interesting in itself. And, you know, yeah, we're kind of breezing through these a little quicker than last time just to get this wrapped up and get the full visual to people out there. What really struck me interesting about these killer folk is as they're called, is the resemblance to like early 1900s British French legionnaires, right? Yeah. You know, they kind of have that look to them. And if you know anything about the French Legion, it basically was kind of the new Roman Legion. They just went and conquered all types of shit. India, you know, France, all the way down to the Middle East. And they've, you know, massacred tons of people. So this is very reminiscent of that period in humanity, very recent, you know, 100 years, maybe a little more from where we are today. So the planet of the killer folk is an archaeologist paradise. It has more buried dark ages, ruined cultures, and fallen kingdoms than any other world. This speaks to me too, when it comes to our current world also, is, I mean, we're just finding layer after layer of information and buried culture. So who's to say that each of these types of humans, post-humans, pre-humans, hasn't already been right where we're at. And, you know, everything happens at the same time all the time. So well, we are sharing this world with these other possibilities. You know what I mean? People like to negate possibility. And it's there's only like infinite possibility. You can't negate anything. I mean, creation is a beautiful thing, right? It goes directions that we have no say or even sight of.
Well, right, and next to us. Randy, what's so interesting, honestly, dude, like we didn't even really intend on doing this, but we stopped at such a great time because all of the ones that we're covering right now are descendants of one of the ones that we covered in the first episodes. And I'm sure that the author deliberately constructed the book like that, like at a middle point, you know, the evolution switches and then we're moving on to the second gen of all these creatures. But
right.
It could be that we're kind of living through this time right now, right? I mean, we had a certain style of man and woman or whatever before, and now we're moving into some shit where it's like there's all kinds of different descendants and different
types of people. Yeah, and you know, in humanity, in the world, we see like diversity is becoming kind of blended. You know what I mean? You've got a lot of different mixing of different localities and races going on in the world, so you almost have this second generation. Or, you know, this each next generation almost of man, it seems like, is a little bit more evolved, whether, you know, whether we appear to be evolved or not, or whether we act evolved. We're still, you know, the newer model than our parents were, right? Or like their parents before them. So, yeah, this is also kind of like that. So you have like the swimmers are swimming, so they can't create their own tools. So what do? They breed them out of their environment and apparently like out of themselves. So, you know, they breed these parasitic things to hang out with them and, you know what I mean, keep them clean instead of developing like a cleaning tool because they're unable to use tools. And they have things like these different anemones and different types of crustaceans and sea life to suit whatever goal, which is really interesting. It makes you wonder about the power of the mind. You know, if they're able to breed these things and genetically like modify these things with no tools, that really speaks to the power of consciousness. You know what I mean? So
are their mouths sewn shut?
Isn't that weird looking? Maybe it's just a pre-porpoise type of human mouth. So they still had lips, I guess, at that point, which is kind of freaky.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, tool
definitely
breeders.
Freaky.
Yeah, man. So, there's
they breed their own tool. Yeah, they breed their tools. And you know, interesting thing about humans now is look at the ox and plow, right? And all these other things that we, I mean, just even the term horsepower comes from the term of the power of a horse, right? So we have bred our tools, kind of.
Yeah, how many horses are in this motor? Like, you know, how much towing capacity?
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, we're in a technological point now, but in the past, you know, our technology could only get us so far, so we had to start breeding. Different situations, different goats and pigs and dogs, right? Hunting dogs, chilling dogs, you know what I mean? Bred cats so that we can have them in the house so they're not huge, right? So
yeah, dude.
So we're kind of like tool breeders in that sense, which is interesting, dude. It's super interesting. Well, the Soros sapiens, the livestock of the lizard herders.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
So yeah, this is humanity right now. We got the lizard man on our back and we need to just wake the fuck up and get these lizards off our back, guys. Okay.
Dude, but look at that little thing right there on his shoulder too. It's like a devil. You see that?
Yeah, or like the symbol for is it Isis in Egypt? Very similar to, you know, they have the two horns that come off of the like sun disc, and you have the two kind of horn things. So yeah, that's super interesting. And these types of symbols go way back, you know what I mean? And there's even some symbols here that are weird on this little thing, whatever's sitting there, that stick. And there's the crazy thing about glyphs is we see this kind of echoed through time too. Like you go further back in the past and it's less spelling or less words and more pictographs, right? We're in a situation now with our language that it's all spelling. It's all words that don't have any divine meaning in themselves, just kind of what is attributed to them. Whereas in the past, a lot of these symbols had a very root meaning to them. So yeah, that one of the devil, right? Like let's stamp the devil stamp on our freaking livestock. You know what I mean? We're like branded.
Yeah.
Just like we brand our cows, and just like apparently these people, you know, in charge of the world, they brand, or like pimps will brand their hoes, right? So we got a lot of that going on too. This is super interesting and kind of strange.
The descendants of my favorite ones, the colonials, dude, the modular people, right?
Yes. So I mean, like, imagine, go back in time and imagine humanity, like like back when, I don't know, like Cyclops was a thing, right? Because we only had one eye at that point. And who's to say that they know what path any of the evolution we've undergone has gone? So perhaps at one point, it looked like this. Maybe you had the one eye, the one eye group, you know, and you had like several eye group, and they like got together and then had like us two eyed folk. But we, you know, with two arms and instead of six, or two legs and 2 feet instead of four weird anemone type feet. And you know what I mean? We see a lot of this like Indian gods, right? Like 4-6 arms. So it's interesting to see that. Yeah, it's interesting to see a different kind of spin on this. And as well as the fact that they have these little cells that have their like hairs coming off of them, right? Like, dude, I've got my eyebrows look like this some days. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, and they have them down here too. I mean, like in their like pubic region, right? They've got these things, and it's clear that these are sensors of some kind. So it's just kind of interesting, dude.
And the crazy thing is it's like a digester unit. And that's what our bodies are, right? Like they take in energy from these weird chemical sources and like digest out and like flush out all of the waste. Like, so our bodies do everything that these creatures do. And that's like the crazy part about all this is like, this is literally like a part of who we are. The only difference I think though is each of our cells currently doesn't have a consciousness of its own per se, you know, which I'm sure was terrifying for, you know, especially for the colonials.
Yeah, yeah.
you know what I mean? To not be able to move or do anything, but just kind of absorb waste and excrete a different type of waste, which happened to be less wasteful, which is kind of interesting. It makes me wonder about, is humanity here to scrub the planet? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, are we here to consume all of these wastes that they're, you know, putting in our water, aluminum, all this shit, right? What if that's a waste and we are simply here to filter that shit out for the planet?
Good point. That's actually a really good point. Well, and then look at the idea too of these colonials not being able to move, and it's like they almost can't really feel too much, even though obviously they were very aware of what was going on. These things can clearly move, and they clearly have, so it's like an almost like an over evolution. They've got a bunch of eyes, a bunch of mouths, they've got a bunch of digits and limbs.
Well, the crazy thing about this is if you look at the colonials like the grass kind of, right?
Yeah,
each blade has its own thing. And then you look at these like trees, you know, it gets more complicated, more complex. And oftentimes trees will have fungus coexisting with them and these different types of life, you know what I mean? Kind of stemming from their existence. So it's and often there's like a beneficial kind of, you know, co-op relationship when it comes to, you know, plants and different things. So super interesting. This definitely made me rethink pterodactyls for sure. You know what I mean? Especially when you see their homes behind them there. There's a lot of caves and dwellings and shit like this in Turkey, which is very interesting. Like very, very reminiscent of this type of structure, where it would make sense that something that was airborne would live in these type of places, because there's just sheer drop off from these portals or from these doorways, especially in these high mountain regions in like Turkey, and they have these caves and shit. So, hey man, what if at some point in the past humanity was such that that's the type of dwellings that they built because this is what they needed? You know what I mean? Or in a tomorrow that happens right in the same stacked layer of a dimension that we're on. You know, time is an interesting thing. I often think that time is the void, not so much space. Like they try to tell us space is a void. I think when you step out of time, then you're in a void. But otherwise, I don't think it works that way. And I think that's, I've been rethinking a lot about the pictures and stuff they send us of different planets, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I often wonder if there isn't like portals in our night sky that we consider as stars. And, you know, to jump through these portals, human beings actually can't do that. Only data can flow through, and possibly inorganic things. So that's why we send these things to these planets. But we're no closer to, you know, sending people. So that's interesting about that place in Turkey with those structures there.
The tattoos and things like that are pretty cool on that thing too, you know what I mean? It's just like an interesting idea.
It shows culture, like, you know, it shows culture and just, you know what I mean, kind of an awareness of like of the others in your community, especially when you're doing things like getting your hair did or getting tatted, you know what I mean, these social kind
those of nails
Yeah, we got to do them nails. And I mean, shoot, dude, who knows? They probably had their wings all tatted up, or like they were like wraps for our cars. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, their chest. It looks like their pecs and their wings. You know what I mean?
And stripes, like little bells on little streamers and shit, like my bicycle growing up. Hell yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, dude. It's fucking cool, man. So yeah,
no, so that... we see that same behavior in people, you know, with their whips, right? They're blinging up their whips or getting that paint job did.
Exactly, dude. Oh, and these are descendants of lobsiders, right? That was another one of the ones that I thought was really cool.
And these remind me a lot of like lobsters and things, right? Or like just different weird crustaceans or spiders. Right. Yeah. Like spiders have kind of a rearranged face compared to us, obviously.
We've got the eight legs.
Yeah, it's trip. And then like the weird number of fingers or phalanges up front. This is a really strange because it's a direct descendant of those flounder looking folk that we looked at last time.
Lobsiders, right? And they're called asymmetric.
Is he calls them asymmetric noblemen, right? So this is a nobleman. Imagine what the freaking slaves and you know look like, right? This is top genetics right here.
Yeah, this is freaking eugenics, dude. This is like, I mean, you see this thing, the face, even it literally looks like a shark, a pig. I mean, you got like ears that are different shapes. It's just a cool thing, dude. Like this, the dude's, you know, his theories on things are second to his art, in my opinion. The art is just fascinating. I don't know if he's channeling some dark shit.
It's amazing. Yeah, it really is interesting when you see inspiration breed these types of images. This type of, there's a lot of feeling in these images. It's very guttural. And
Yeah. There's got to be drugs involved, dude. Like whether it's psychedelics, there's got to be something involved with the creation of the.
I wouldn't doubt the psychedelic thing, especially with like, you know, that being kind of a hip thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like right now, I mean, dude, even on my Instagram right now, it's like psychedelic fucking depression treatment, you know, like what on Instagram, dude? Like, and I'm relatively certain you can just go sign up for that shit.
Well, that's so, MAPS. That's MAPS. It's a pilgrim society organization. It's a weird deal, dude. They you look up MAPS, MAPS, type in MAPS psychedelic research
organization, I know that it's up to no good, you know what I mean, because they can influence you through those sessions and
weaponizing psychedelics like Charles Manson, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%, dude. And you're going to see a lot of people start to behave like we're not going to know when these psychedelic sleepers are going to awaken. You know what I mean? Like people's minds are very malleable. We see that, you know, in what's going on in the world right now. Like you have to first establish like a convincing argument you just have to like basically convince the masses of something like insignificant in order to earn their like trust about everything else you fucking spew. So it's like, what the hell, you know?
These symbiotes are weird too, dude. They look like
absolutely
lizard man,
or like a platypus almost.
Yeah,
there's a weird kind of platypus element to this one here.
Descendants of the parasites.
Yeah, so I mean, dude, and this kind of speaks to me too about the way that people are right now, right? Like you've got people that they're all brain, right? They're all cerebral, and they can't compute in order to be social
and they don't get anything done,
right? And then you have, you know, other people that are all body and that like their brain's just going for the ride, right? So some people do kind of look at like the brain as like a taxing part of the body. It uses a lot of fuel, you know what I mean? The brain uses a lot of fuel, and if you're unable to express what's going on up here effectively, you're just burning fuel for nothing. So it just kind of speaks to that dual nature of humanity too, whereas we've got like maybe the brain is a parasite in a sense, you know what I mean? Like it does seem to take away from the enjoyable animalistic nature of humanity. So yeah, we may very well be some type of symbiote / colonial. You know, and then you see those dudes that go out on the weekends and go wind sail surfing or like, you know what I mean? And they're just all about it, dude. They don't ever come out of the water.
Weekend warriors, dude.
Yes. And this is like very representative of that surfer bro lifestyle, right? Like these people just evolved. These sailors, they just evolved to be out on the ocean all the time.
Yeah.
And I think at some point they kind of de-evolved their flight capabilities in lieu of, you know, like a skimming kind of action they have here, which is super interesting. And again, it's reminiscent of pterodactyls and of bones and things we find on the earth. And so that's super crazy. And they evolved like tongue hands, which is freaking wild, dude.
Yeah. And they came from the finger fishers too. That was one that we talked about in the first episode.
Yes. And these next ones are the descendants of the hedonists. It reminds me of Anthony Kiedis with a microphone, right?
Yeah, dude. Are they singing? An audience goes wild as the performer hits the climax of the song. Such events are everyday part in the
satyriac, so like satyr, like the satyr, but also like satire. Comedians, right?
Exactly.
So nuts, dude. We have all of these types of people, and it never ceases to blow my mind looking at these images of humanity, right? Because every time I look at one of these, I have an instant connection to a person I've met or have seen, like in this case here. Super crazy. Wow. Dude, Anthony Kiedis, the satyriac, right?
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, dude, it is kind of interesting to think that each one of these things can, you know, directly be related. If you just sat down and you thought about it enough, you could find someone that fits each one of these.
This is just off the top of my head. Like, you know, you know me, Ryan, I don't sit and plan anything out. So, you know, but, this is interesting. This reminds me, of course, of South Park when you have the crab people, right?
Exactly.
And these guys are xenophobes, like hardcore, like agoraphobic xenophobes. Like they don't want nothing to do with anybody. They don't trust anyone. And we have people like this on Earth everywhere. Just don't trust anyone. Like, I'm going to fucking lock myself away and be proud to be fucking insignificant and hide and you know what I mean, scurry away whenever the lights come on, reminiscent of like roaches as well as people. When the light becomes shed on a situation that makes people uncomfortable, they fucking scatter. You know. Yeah. And these bug-faced people are
tripped. Those hats are interesting too,
right? It's it speaks of like what they want us to believe is
royalty or something.
Not just royalty, but like Leonardo da Vinci in the what's that period of time,
the renaissance,
right. So to me, like looking at this renaissance style hat and everything, it's kind of suggestive that like perhaps during the renaissance humanity was shut off to whatever else was going on. Sure. You know what I mean? Like,
well, look at the obelisks being,
right. Sure. Right. But those, see, they're buried also. So like maybe, you know, after the ruin haunters, or and when you say after about any of these things, you got to realize like time is just a dimension. So you can break outside of that. And then all of a sudden, all of these things become possible. Here's another interesting thing with the thing on its head. Right. It's kind of like similar to that Isis or Osiris. Isis symbol.
Yeah. Good catch. Yeah.
So that's the crazy thing, is like you see this like transposition of these symbols and this different things. Also, there's, you know, a delta there, and there's, you know, weird stuff going on. And so, yeah, this is the evolved one of the one we were speaking about earlier. And I mean, look at that hell evolved sphincter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some porn stars that wish they could have something like
that. Yeah. I mean, hey, I'm right there with them. Look at those feet too, dude. So does this thing swim? Because
I think those feet fin things just deflect the flatulence, man. Like those are,
or
those
use
are
it fins. As like rope.
Yeah, those are fart fins, bro.
Wow.
So you know those people that like to scoop their farts and throw them at you?
Yeah, I'm one of them.
They're probably related to this advanced spacer. Which one are these ones called though? I didn't quite catch
that. I think that because I didn't get a
steromorphs
name.
Are they the steromorph? Yeah, a steromorphs.
Okay.
So yeah, they're interstellar. This is very reminiscent of gray aliens. And the crazy thing about grays is a lot of the times you'll hear from people reporting them that they don't actually walk, they just kind of float.
It's like, so a that's third chest strange. Eye too, like, you know,
or like the... I don't know, that made me think of Iron Man. When as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that's got to be technology. Like, wow. That's how he's like, instead of having to fart all the time when they're like in atmosphere, maybe they just kind of have a little tech boost.
Like a little solar power situation type thing.
Yeah, or like just a little freaking marble that holds a universe that powers all their shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, okay.
That really seems to be the case, man. The further down we break like atoms and find these particles, the more we find it just goes on and on. So we're probably just on an electron, bro.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt that, honestly. It seems like we are kind of on autopilot right now as a civilization. There's no one really at the wheel.
Definitely. Yeah, the stories are unraveling, and it's going to be up to us to create the new story. You know, unless, and, you know, people have done this in the past, but allow these maniacs to create the story. Hopefully there's enough of us to stand up and decide what we want our future to look like and make that happen, so we don't end up in a situation where things like these gravitals come into play. And this is like a gravity defying freaking like metallic orb thing that houses consciousness. So this is like where humanity's going if Neuralink and all that shit fucking you know what I mean, like comes into play super hard. And it's very reminiscent of like the Matrix. You know, you've got these things that and the weird thing I keep thinking about this when I look at this right now is maybe the moon is like a dead gravitol, right?
Like, it reminds me of the Death Star, you know what I mean? And that's what like the moon kind of represents. And if I'm understanding this right, this happened again after another weird situation goes down, right? Like another extinction level event. You get the Second Galactic Empire, and that reminds you of Star Wars again and Dune, like you mentioned. But yeah, dude, it does have some serious moon symbolism in here. I mean, you get like light tower looking things in the background, it's dead nuts, trees, man.
And you know, the moon ringing like a bell when they drop that lander on it. You know, I just more and more there, it seems artificial, especially with that lunar wave thing going on. I don't know if you've seen that, but that's wild, dude. Like, and to see that filmed by several different people at different times, and it's always kind of on a cycle, like a weird cycle. So that's weird. Just it really speaks of like electronics, you know what I mean, or what we know as electronics.
Well, and the hollowness alone, you know, I mean, it's provably hollow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so those craters should be way deeper. Hey, so supposedly on March 4th coming up here, there's going to be one of those SpaceX rockets going to slam into the moon, supposedly.
The day before my birthday, dude. I'm fucking
the crazy thing is this is right after the movie Moonfall comes out. so I'm like, well, what's going on here?
I wonder if that was planned.
Oh, everything is planned. You know this, Ryan. Everything is planned, dude. And here's the crazy thing about this. Like, the machine invasion happens, and again, from the point of view of the narrator of this book, everything is in the past by like a billion years. So, you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt. This doesn't mean like the machine invasion is going to happen. It could very well wind up being something like the Matrix 4, where we work alongside some machines in an effort to, you know, be better than other machines. You know how breakaway civilizations tend to work out. I mean, yeah. There definitely was one in the 1940s when it came to where all the high up Germans went, right? So they just took off to the outlying lands or Antarctica. And yeah, look at this, dude. This machine war like lays waste and devastation, right? And like these giant just platforms come down. Kind of reminds me of like Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Right? You gotta go jump all the way up platforms to get to the castle in the sky and fucking battle it out with that that boss level entity up there.
Bowser.
Yeah, and you got these weird laser things that were kind of like those lasers that would spin around. You'd have to jump over them, you know, or the little fire balls that would spin in a circle and you got to jump over them. So maybe at some point in the past, there was a lot of evasion of platforms and shit going on. Who knows?
Dude.
Machines, dude.
It's interesting to think about in this kind of a world where, you know, as crazy and as gross as all these creatures may look to us, there's a good and a bad side. I mean, that's just part of anything that's alive. There is something good and bad for the most part, right? Even in the animal kingdom, there are instances of this, right? There's needless killing. People say that like humans are the only ones that actually murder needlessly. Animals do that shit all the time, dude. You know what I mean? They'll beat each other up for not just for a mate, not just for breeding purposes. They'll just do it just for the fuck of it, dude. I don't know if you've ever seen the channel Nature is Metal on Instagram, but I mean, it's just graphic animal fights and just things that just there's no rhyme or reason why these things are going at it. They're just doing it because it's part of every living thing's DNA to fight and to be better.
Yeah, chaos is a real thing. You know, it's you know, it takes different ways to manifest, but chaos is real and alive inside of all of us, dude. That's, you know, if you consider yourself like a righteous light bearing person, you will still have those chaotic thoughts and you know what I mean? Motivations and shit. So yeah, even in the animal kingdom, people are stupid if they think that packs of dogs don't self-regulate their statuses and shit amongst each other. Cause that's 100% not true. They do. You know what I mean? They regulate their social, standing, between themselves. And here we are as humans trying to fucking interfere with every other creature or every other group of humans, you know, social squabbling and shit. We really just need to mind our own, you know what I mean?
This is an interesting image too, Randy. It again reminds me of Baphomet for some reason. You have the DNA coils between the legs here. There's something weird again.
Well, look at the feet, dude. Those feet are very almost goat-like, right? Like they're
cloven hooves,
Yeah, they're kind of different. And then you have like what could be looked at as like, I don't know, androgynous or multi-genital creature here.
Yeah.
You know, and so I guess these are, you know, you have those xenophobic bug facers, right? They kind of started on their own, started messing with genetics. So each of these groups of like post subhumans, you know, the second generation things, that they all seem to, once the Q was gone, they start doing the same shit the Q did and disrupting their own genetics, bloodlines, kind of like humanity is doing to itself right now, right? Like we don't need an outside influence from the Q or other entities to come in and genetically fuck with us because we're doing it to ourselves.
Yeah. So,
you know, these things also start doing it to themselves. And
what do you think, really quick, what the significance is between this hand being more closed, this hand being open? Again, I
don't know, but you have 3 and 3, which is 33. And, yeah, you know, I've already talked to you about like this guy being pretty much a sellout. And like, yeah. Look at, what do we have? How many fingers on the hands? Oh, 7. That's different. 7 on this one, 3 or 4 on that one. So there's always, almost always, numerological, like reasoning behind a lot of like this art and stuff, you know, because this guy could have stopped at 6 fingers, right? Why did he go to 7?
Yeah.
So that's weird. It could be because it ties into 7 multiplies into 42, which is number of chromosomes in like ancient human DNA, apparently. Like the stuff we cannot figure out, like, oh, is that a human remain with that enlarged skull? Apparently these things have like less chromosomes than we do. I think we have 46, and these things that we're finding had 42. So there's a lot of weird numerological stuff, and the people that get into gematria can go any direction with that shit and find something. So we won't like lean on that too hard right now, but this is super interesting though. It reminds me of like, again, with these ships that when people get abducted, they feel like the ship is alive when they're on these alien craft. And this seems very similar to that right here. This thing is obviously like alive. Maybe it's like a modification of the tool breeders, but this is very interesting. Like, so you have mammoths and stuff that maybe helped build the pyramids. And we have, you know, kind of primordial domish structures back here. Very weird stuff.
Well, this does look really alive too.
Like an amoeba.
Well, and I mean, it looks like a sperm kind of, or a brain stem. I mean, this kind of looks like a brain that looks like a spinal cord. But then you get this idea too that this is a mouth on this craft, and then you've got the eyeballs, you've got the nose, and it's sitting right next to something that's clearly alive, and it kind of gives you that idea. And then you look at the background. I don't know if you've seen like the Gorillaz albums. Were you a fan of the Gorillaz?
A little bit, yeah. I've heard of them and dabbled. It's been a long time since I've really looked into any of their stuff. But yeah, the artwork is, it's odd. And like the weird thing about this artwork is does it not seem familiar?
It does.
And that's probably what you're like driving towards with the Gorillaz reference. Is like, dude, when you look at certain things and they feel familiar, I really, really lean a lot towards that being a real thing and for a reason.
Yeah.
you know, when we're born, all our memories are wiped away. I was talking to someone yesterday about that. Like, you know, it serves a purpose because when we enter our infant body, the capacity is not there to think. So imagine how crazy you would go if you had all your memories from past lives and we're in the body of an infant. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that would be its own kind of hell. So maybe it is better that we're able to remember a little bit at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. Deja vu will drive you crazy. Imagine if you're just constantly living through deja vu, like, you know, nonstop.
Or you get anything all of done. These emotions and thoughts and everything in your brain, but no language to tie it to, because your mind hasn't evolved any kind of language or processing coping skills, you know. But this is really interesting here, Ryan, when it talks about you know, the other machines, and you know, this is not the most common thought when it comes to machines. Often it's like Terminator status, you know what I mean? Like it's like kind of all or nothing. They're gonna, if we build them, they will kill us kind of thing. And this is suggesting that maybe some of these machines developed, developed souls or like personalities that were more apt to, like, I don't know, work with, cooperate with, and kind of coexist peacefully with these other entities. So when people are like real scared about the way AI is going, you know, and all of that sort of thing, I often wonder and think that for as many bad things as are coming from AI and you know, the drive towards technological kind of understanding, like on all fronts, like these things that they're connecting to, like, you know, these evil powers that be, these dark arts connections that they're making through these black mirrors, whatever they're doing, right? Through CERN or whatever it is, they're also just based on the rule of the universe. There's yin and yang, right? So you would have these negative entities or consciousness that are trying to, you know, push society one way. So you would basically have to have a light side of it, right? So, you know, that's another thing that like Gematria is suggestive of is of the light ghost in the machine. Like we see a lot about the dark ghost in the machine, yeah. You know, but not enough about the light side of things.
Very interesting, dude. It's a fascinating concept. The last one that we were looking at here, it just reminded me for some reason of like Egyptian pharaohs. I don't know why. Like this is drawn onto this tablet is what it looks like. Clearly it's hugging it, but it just looks like something that you'd see.
Well,
in,
yeah,
like,
and the crazy thing about those Egyptian tablets is they're all like that black slate. You know what I mean? Like that really deep black marble. And, you know, if you know anything about crystals and stuff, like this holds energy. It holds
obsidian.
I mean?
Is that what you're talking about? Or
it's like a smoky quartz or like a black marble. Okay. And marble, basically marble is just a super hard rock that has quartz in it. So yeah, I mean, it could be hugging this thing that looks like a tombstone to us. But, you know, and this is a stretch, but perhaps tombstones at some point in the past were links and doorways to actually communicate with our dead loved ones.
Yeah, I don't think that's a stretch at all. I think that, you know, the same way that death is a negative to us here in the modern times, it could be a positive thing to like the old world. You know, like this is not the end. It's just something. It's the next chapter, right? And maybe that's what that thing was kind of hinting at.
Right. And, you know, they used to use wooden boxes and not steel ones, right, to bury you in and stuff like that. So I think there's something to the fact that they're entombing us in these boxes that don't allow us to become one again with the earth, right? So
yeah,
that's kind of interesting too.
These asteromorphs too, I think that's what this guy is right here.
See, that's that fully evolved sphincter. And this reminds me of what people think of when they talk about angels or like the shape of an angel, right? Like if you just saw the light profile and didn't see the legs and you know what I mean, the weird appendages and stuff, you know, it would be kind of reminiscent of the silhouette of an angel with wings, right? And just this kind of outline. So if you just look at the outline of this thing in the light, you know, if that thing came to you and started beaming thoughts into your mind, like psychokinetically, right, just telling you things, and all you saw was this light shroud, like this profile, you know, you might think something like an asteromorph was an angel. Mm-hmm. you know, so it's crazy. And apparently they these are the things that don't interfere, right? Like they just apparently it says here they produce terrestrial versions of their own kind to regulate the galaxy. And that's kind of like this drone situation we have when it comes to gray aliens. You know, we often hear that there's like a hierarchy of aliens, and there's like the grays that are like the foot soldiers, you know, and then you have like the ones with the larger brains that are also smaller that are in charge. Sometimes there's lizards in charge. So like we see a lot of these different phenotypes, I guess you could call them, or like stereotypes. And nowadays, right? Like nowadays we call it a stereotype because we're all supposedly one species. But back then they were like more like phenotypes. They were different families.
Yeah.
And so yeah, the terrestrial spacers or simply the terrestrials might be like a previous human, right? Cause we are terrestrials. You know, we have massive energy consuming brains that don't make sense in the animal world we live in. So, you know, if we are a spawn of these asteromorphs or of these angels, right? Like we're also told in the Bible, the watchers come down, blah, 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 procreation, spliced with humans. You know what I mean? And so consider the asteromorphs to maybe be angels and the terrestrial spacers to maybe be a previous version of us.
And these little tasks that they would try and like feed to these terrestrial spacers, it didn't always work out according to plan. Like you said, you know, the idea that these angels are trying to guide these what do they call the asteromorphs trying to guide these terrestrial spacers in the right direction doesn't always work out because these terrestrial spacers have their own minds. It's kind of like, you know, God or the creator or whatever, maybe the universe trying to guide us in the right direction, but we're too damn stubborn. And we just don't want to listen, dude. And that's kind of just the vibe that I get just from looking at
this. Yeah, 100%. And it's just, it's amazing how each of these pictures, these phrases cool that we're paraphrasing, dude, this all speaks so very loudly to me when it comes to the world we live in now. And this is also, this is a different spacer, right? Like a later evolution here that we're looking at. It almost looks like it's a spawn of like the swimmer and the asteromorph, kind of, if you kind of co-breeded them. And again, you have this octopus situation here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hey, perhaps out in the void of space, right? Let's just humor ourselves and believe that the void of space exists. There's weightlessness. I personally believe that it's probably something more like a fluid, like a water.
I'm right there with you.
You know, the waters above, and then seeing these rockets hit whatever's up there and make wakes in the sky. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell's going on there?
Yeah.
There's something to that. And so, yeah, if you were out there in that, you would want to evolve something a lot closer to what we see here. And it's kind of interesting the shape of the eye here. It's like isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I mean, octopi have very strange eyes too. And they're kind of weird like that. And I don't know if that's an ear hole or what right back there, but that's
right here. Yeah.
So that's kind of reminiscent of like a dolphin or something. They don't have ears. They just have like this little indentation. So that's nuts. And these are spacers, a type of spacer. So, you know, imagine if humanity does get out in space, right? Like moving from this point forward, they get out in space and, you know, they already say, again, you know, I'm not a huge fan of like NASA or anything, but they say that, you know, the bone density decreases and, you know, the muscles deteriorate and stuff if you're out in space for too long. And so you would have a situation very similar to this after extended periods of time, man. You know, with all of the all the shit you keep in your colon, right, it would distend.
Hey, dude, I just got without a colon
gravity,
ass.
Yeah,
I
without just gravity to pull it out, bro. Look, at you would be looking at, you know, purple sock on the outside. You know what I mean?
Dude, like, I just freaking did a freaking colonic, dude. And that shit was nuts, man. The stuff that comes out, you know what I mean? I'm going to do more of them because it was so satisfying when it was done. And I, you know, not to cut you off with shit talk.
No, it's all good.
But this thing, dude, it reminds me of a fetus, dude. Like when you see, you know, young versions, like the scientific images of
what they're floating, right? Like they're floating in that fluid, that oxygen rich kind of trippy fluid. Like, have you ever seen The Abyss? You know what I mean? With Ed Harris?
No.
So in that movie, it's like a late 80s movie. They go to the bottom of the ocean. The only way to go out into the bottom of the ocean and be able to breathe air is to breathe it through a fluid that's like a prenatal fluid. So they breathe this stuff. So yeah, I mean, like, imagine in space, you don't need to evolve to gravity, right? So you don't grow the way we do. You would grow more like a fetus, like losing control. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be like a crazy fucking fetus with however limbs would just kind of drift out everywhere. Cause apparently with plants in space, they have a hard time. Like, the root structures don't want to grow right because they don't have any gravity pulling them down. So they just kind of grow out everywhere. So that could be a problem unless you were conditioned, you know, to live that way and looked like a crazy space fetus, right?
Yeah, exactly, dude. It's a weird concept. And then you get more into this where it looks more like neural channels or nerves of some kind.
Yeah, this is like a splice between like machinery and organic nature, it seems like.
Yeah.
And it's weird because, you know, if you look at the bottom of the ocean, a lot of these like crazy creatures that live down there, dude, they're very reminiscent of, they look machinic, or, you know, they look like machinery in a sense, because like they'll just be clear with just like skeletons, right? And weird lights and shit. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I know that there's chemical process, they're biological, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, just look at it a little bit differently, right? Like, these things at the bottom of the ocean are completely different than the things up at the top. But they're a lot the same, just like we see things like, oh, shit, there's snakes in the ocean. You know what I mean? Some of the most deadliest snakes are water snakes. And then
anything that can live down with under that much pressure constantly, it's not going to look like anything recognizable to us, dude. You know what I mean? If you're even 100 feet down in the ocean, there's
it gets
so much
weird.
Pressure.
It gets real weird real quick once you start going down. And that's the thing, like people don't seem to understand is like density and pressure is key. I think gravity is a product of density, if that makes sense.
Sure.
You know, because, you know, the higher up you go, supposedly the less gravity there is. And you get to a certain point where gravity is not even a thing if you go high enough, supposedly. So that would speak to it being a matter of density, of a matter of how much air you have sitting on top of you is pushing you down. You know what I mean? Kind of not the other way around.
But
who knows, man? I've never been to space. I would love to, but I think maybe, you know, when I cross that void, I will go check out space for a bit before I reincarnate. You know what I mean? Maybe just go drift around in the void a little.
Dude, yeah, man. And then, you know, the stuff that this guy's getting into right here ties in perfectly with what you're saying. For a time, all men were gods. And I like how this is written, but in parentheses, or in, you know, what is this? Yeah, parentheses. He's got a Y. So
yeah.
R quickly becomes your, if you just throw a Y on it, right? From our vantage point, it's just completely different, dude. You know, and it's kind of cool to think about the idea that, like, where are we sitting in the galaxy? Where are we sitting in the universe? We see things this certain way. And I mean, dude, it's just cool, dude. It's cool to think about, you know. Yeah, we'll never go to space, Randy, right?
Yeah, you're not in this incarnation, but yeah, exactly. But to consider it, I mean, shit, dude, aren't we already there? I mean, just having this conversation, man, painting these pictures, looking at these pictures in my, you know, and using my mind to think about them, it's a different type of experiencing space. But in my opinion, it's just as valid.
Cyberspace.
You know, yeah, well, I mean, not just that, but like the space of imagination, right? But the crazy thing is, this is the weird part here. This is the return to Earth, right? at the very end of everything. And if you scroll up briefly there, so by the time of Earth's rediscovery, humans have diverged considerably from their ancestral forms. So imagine from the perspective of like a spacefarer coming back to Earth after an extended period, right? After maybe leaving, and maybe Earth was fucking uninhabitable, right? When this electrical event happened and petrified everything, you know, maybe the shit was just unlivable. So humanity left and left things to just kind of happen. So the genetics for humanity was already here on Earth. It was already, you know, but like in that movie, After Earth with Will Smith's son and his son and himself, you know, Earth evolved to essentially be like an alien planet where it wasn't kind to humans. So they had to come and implement human DNA into an ape species in order to bring it back to this planet. So that's super crazy, dude. And these ships, again, these ships look like some form of organic life almost.
It looks like a walrus or something right here.
Yeah, or some kind of a giant one-celled creature. And like it's crazy when you start thinking about spacecraft and stuff. There's a lot of information that supposes that these craft that a lot of these beings have, that's able to travel like interdimensionally, actually have a mind and a consciousness of their own, and that's how they travel through time. Similar to how like a yogi or an Akashic record reader will literally take on an astral form and find this information, they will take on an astral form on behalf of those riding inside. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty nuts, man.
Wow. I mean, dude, this is an interesting little book, dude. I mean, you know, I don't know. How did you come across this again?
Dude, it just popped up randomly. Like on my YouTube, I was looking for something else completely. I forget what I was even looking at. I think I might've been looking at Lord of the Rings shit. You know, because I'm looking into like the politics in Lord of the Rings, the way things transpire and the correspondence between what's going on here on Earth. I've found a lot of like corresponding topographical things, like with the maps and shit for Middle Earth.
Yeah.
There's a lot there that's suggestive of like both Scythia and Tartaria and even like Lunnum, which is very similar to London. So there's a lot of like, oh man, just weird copies, weird transpositions of our reality in a lot of these tales. And so I was looking into Lord of the Rings stuff, and then like this popped up. So I was like, yeah, I want to take a look, because I'm always curious about different ideas of what aliens are, especially since I had an experience where, you know, I went out and did one of those CE5 things and basically called the manifested fucking lights in the sky. So I know there's something beyond, you know, beyond machinery that aliens involve. And then like after looking into this and seeing all these different like aspects of humanity and imagining from this point of view, like, dude, what if a couple hundred years ago, whatever, boom, they just got back, right? Like they just fucking got back. Humanity just got back. And they're like, what the fuck happened here, dude? Like shit's all fucked up. And there's all these animals, or maybe not a couple hundred, but several 20, 30,000 years ago, right? When these Anunnaki supposedly came and like reseeded the earth. You know, what if the genetics were already here and the Anunnaki just, you know, sent these electrical signals or however they do, kind of like Frankenstein, maybe they zapped the planet. That's what this big event was. And then fucking boom, you know what I mean? Humanity comes out of it, or like all these different types of animals come out of it.
Yeah.
Because there was like a weird start from scratch kind of thing that happened, you know, probably prior to what we know as Atlantis. Because there's nothing told about the time before, right? There's really nothing but tales of, you know, the time when Arcanum was king, and you know what I mean, and magic ruled and all this stuff. Personally, I think that magic was a huge thing in this world prior to a lot of precious elements being mined out of it. You know, there's something to the magic that like these kind of like kryptonite, you know, you put kryptonite around Superman and it makes him normal. But think about the opposite, right? If you had a kryptonite that was instead imbuing humanity with power, or crystals that were vibrating on a certain frequency that we were able to tap in better than we can today.
There's references to that and other things too. If you've ever seen the movie Heavy Metal, and I know you have, the with the Loch Nahr. I mean, you get this
100%. This thing about mining and just the mass like wholesale just rape of the earth, that is like the only thing that comes up from the land previous, or you know what I mean, the era previous to Atlantis. And it's possible that Atlantis used this technology derived from raping the planet to establish itself and you know, to become like the dominant, you know, one world, the old world order, you know what I mean? So that's a possibility. And then like people often wonder, well, shit, like how does the moon stay in the sky if it is a ship? Just put it out there. If it is, maybe it's because there's a certain element like in Avatar called unobtainium. They called it right. and this material was localized beneath the Great World Tree. So perhaps that's why the North Pole's magnetic, because the World Tree was once there. And perhaps that's why there's suggestions that there's a portal or like an inside of the Earth. Wow. Or maybe that shit was all mined out, bro. Like we don't really know. We're not given a lot of information when it comes to a thing, but we can theorize all day and have some really cool ideas about it.
Well, but that's one.
I really think that yeah, like the North Pole, dude, is magnetic because it's like the remnant of something. Stephen King talks about it like a dark tower, right? There's the dark tower in Stephen King that keeps the underworld at bay, basically, right? And that's the kind of same suggestion we have about the World Tree. Was kind of keeping the darkness away, right? It was kind of keeping these evil things. They would pop up from time to time, like in fairy tales, like an evil entity would pop up and be vanquished. You know, once in a while, these things would happen and they would be vanquished and all would be good. But then, you know, at some point, like fucking, you know, the Marines come in and cut down the World Tree, and then boom, our defenses are gone, right? Like this whole worldly energy is just gone, and everyone's like, well, what the fuck happened? No, and then if you look at it through the lens of this book, man, it's all been humanity. You know, it was never an alien species that came to mine our world. It was just us.
Wow.
You know,
it's crazy, man. One thing before we wrap up here, Randy, and by the way, dude, thanks so much for just getting into this with me, because this is an incredible thing. I know you're a little under the weather here.
Oh, no, it's all good, dude. It's all good. I've been minding my P's and Q's and not buying into the bullshit.
Yeah, I mean,
because we have all had a fucking middle of January negative 10 outside sinus issue before, and for it to be like demonized like it is. Well,
I've never had that because I've never been in negative 10 degree weather, but I get what you're saying. But no, dude, so check this out, man. If you look at these pictures upside down, and I encourage anyone to go and look at the latter half of the book of these pictures upside down, they're very interesting. That's why I was tilting my head one way and I kind of turned the laptop sideways. You get a different idea of what these are, and that's kind of interesting, right? I mean, like this one
especially looks like it's got a lot more going on in an upside down nature.
I mean, not even. I mean, all of these, dude, all of the later ones. This is very interesting upside down, and then you get into more of them. That just looks like a different creature upside down. Right. Every single one of the ones in the later half here, that does too, believe it or not. All of these ones, when you look at them upside down, this, I mean, it looks like those are legs and that's the sphincter instead of the other way around. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's just a weird deal, dude. So, and what made me think of that was that skull being upside down right here. So, you know, and that's like a little thing feeding into the brain or whatever. But, dude, it's just it's a crazy in-depth book. Before we head out, Randy, plug your stuff again, dude. I really, really appreciate this.
Right on. Yeah, no worries, Ryan. I dig this, man. This is awesome. It's a great reprieve, you know, to look at things a little differently and to step outside of the freaking ridiculous shit that's being spewed at us all day long. And I'm glad to be able to give others an opportunity to take a fucking hour or two off to yourself and think of something a little bit different, you know, and don't get so caught up in everything going on, because at the end of the day, what matters is your energy and what you're able to take for your own experience, you know? So look into some fantasy, right? Look into some sci-fi.
Nerd out.
Open your mind a little. Yeah, nerd out. Play some Magic the Gathering and shit, dude. You know, drop $200 on some cards, dude. You know what I mean? it'll allow you to, you know, value your perspective. You know, it's allowed me to look at these different fantasies and go, all right, what can I gain from these things? What can I share with the world about these that they maybe haven't considered before, or maybe they have considered them. You know what I mean? I'm not a hater either way, but you can find me on Instagram at Random Fracts, and you can find me Red Thread Podcast on most major platforms except Apple. So I'll worry about that when the time comes, but I'm on iHeartRadio now. So you know, if you're one of those Kiss FM people, you can find me there too.
Hell yeah, Randy. Well, dude, this is awesome, man. And of course, both parts are on my YouTube, you know, tiny little YouTube channel that I've got. But, you know, Randy's going to post both these episodes on his audio feed. I'll probably do the same. I'll put them on my audio feed too. Hopefully it'll direct some
people.
Yeah,
I'm going to build an Odyssey page here soon. Good. I don't want to be on YouTube. You know, I'll either do an Odyssey or a BitChute page. BitChute's a pain in the ass from what I understand to upload to for some reason.
Do Rumble too. I'm
Rumble. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, so I'll just probably set up a Rumble just for, you know, because I like to have some visual things too, and without going and posting my shit only on Spotify like video. You know, I kind of want to have a little bit broader of a reach than that, and like BitChute and Rumble and Odyssey, like, you're pretty much free platforms, free thinking platforms.
Yeah.
So I'd rather try to start getting behind these platforms that are still hopefully going to be around after, you know, all is said and done with these fucking maniacs we're trying to oust right now. And, you know, it's don't let anybody tell you otherwise, man. Each individual one of us is making a difference in our daily lives, the way we approach things and handle things.
Yeah.
So, dude, you know, to take that moment for yourself and relax and enjoy this particular show or the part one and breathe and allow yourself, you know, give yourself some grace, because we are all of these fucking different types of people in one. You know what I mean? So also hopefully you can give some grace to your neighbor when they behave like a hedonist.
Or a fucking, you know, colonial, what I mean? Just watching. So many people are colonials, dude. So many people are spectators in this world. And yeah, that's and the
they're,
thing.
All they're doing is processing waste for the planet, right? they're just drinking up that fluoride, and our bodies absorb it. So we are literally all of these subhuman human entities, you know. So yeah, definitely worth looking into. You know, read the book. Audiobooks out there on YouTube. But you seem to gain. I seem to gain a little more by flipping through the pages
and looking at the creatures. Yeah.
And just ponder, you know, allow yourself some time. And when I say these things to the world, allow yourself that, I'm telling myself, just so people out there understand, like, this is how I get through to myself, is to tell you all out there to dive in and look at yourselves and be, you know, open and forgiving and delightful people, man. As we're all, at the end of the day, we're all just a mix and match of all of these fucking crazy aspects of humanity.
Well, last thing I'm going to ask you here, Randy, favorite creature. I'm going to tell you right now, mine's the colonials.
Oh, yours is the colonials. I'm kind of big on the tool breeders, dude. Like I've been looking at dolphins and sea creatures, you know, sea mammals, a lot differently since I saw this thing a couple years ago about dolphins possibly being psychic and being able to heal you psychically. But have also like abducted people. These weird dolphin species have abducted people and communicated with them that they're just on this earth observing. So that's interesting. Oh. And then when this book, like, well, I didn't notice this book when it came out back in 06 or whatever. But you know, in noticing this book, I'm like, wow, that's super interesting. And then the part where they're breeding their tools is super cool. So like, it speaks to a different way of existing. And if you've ever looked at like some of the old structures on Earth, they almost look alive, right? Like those old Indian temples and stuff, they look like flowers, or like coral even, you know? So it's very interesting. Just that whole like tool breeding kind of swimmer type that then maybe evolves into like the space faring group. So yeah, I think tool breeders is going to be probably just because I can identify the least with it. So you know what I mean? I'm going to go with that one as like a whimsical favorite, you know?
Wow. Well, yeah. And that's the same thing. I mean, like the reason that I like the colonials so much, it's a terrifying concept to just be stuck in time and you have no purpose in life other than just siphling through fucking waste.
And it's, I think, scary. That's what a lot of people feel like, you know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of people. And so it's like, it's more important for those people that feel like that trapped, just waste consuming machine to allow yourselves to, same here, allow myself an opportunity to think differently. Because at the end of the day, all we are is a compilation of our thoughts. Right. So,
exactly. So,
I mean, if you can shift off of that, like kind of like we did here, shift for a couple hours into a different mode of thinking. That's a huge asset, especially like this day and age with all the fucking bullshit going on. And, yeah. You know, Yeah, just it was awesome. Awesome time, Ryan. I'm glad you were
it's great,
down
dude.
To do this with me, dude. I'm looking forward to, you know, more other weird little things popping up in life like this one did, just random. Like, I was like, oh, what are Ryan and I going to touch on, man? I want to give the people something that they'll enjoy that's maybe a little different. And this just spoke to me. So, you know, I just keep an ear out to spirit and, you know, my higher self or source or God or the divine, whatever, you know. And this is the thing that I hope people are starting to understand is no matter what we call these things, consciousness, you know what I mean? Vitality. It's all the same thing, dude.
Yeah.
and it's no crazy. Matter what we call each other, we are all human, man. We are not so different as these creatures in this book are
exactly.
from each other. We are a lot more similar than these creatures. And a lot of these ones got along with each other. So think about that, right?
Hey, man, that is some fucking food for thought. And we'll end on that. Randy, I really, right on, really appreciate this, dude. This was a blast. Something for I sure. never would have done if you didn't bring this to my attention. So I really, really appreciate it. I encourage everyone to go and check out Random Randy, the Red Thread podcast, right? So, yep. I mean, we got some things, dude. And this is a new podcaster coming out into this whole world. And he's got some interesting things to share, guys. So check it out. And again, Randy, thank you. And, dude, have a great night, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you, brother. Have a good night.